This is Not By The Playbook with me, Katie Smith, with the stories you haven't heard from the world of sport. And the majority of boxers, well, they only fight a few times a year. It's not only extremely physically demanding, but the sport is mentally challenging too. Londoner Johnny Greaves, though, arrived late to the professional ring, just before his 30th birthday, and he had just one goal, 100 professional fights. So driven was he that he achieved this rare feat by the time he was just 34. That's averaging about every other week for 4 years straight. And what makes his journey even more unusual is that Johnny lost 96 of those fights. But as you'll hear from him, his record of wins and losses is nothing compared to the challenges he overcame just to step into the ring. Johnny's is a remarkable story. He's detailed it all in a new book.
My name is Johnny Greaves. And the book is Bright Lights and Dark Corners. My life as a child was pretty up and down. You had to look after yourself. It was pretty much fisticuffs, and that's part and parcel of growing up in East London. It's fight or flight. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed a bit of a scrap, to be honest. Not in a nasty way, to avoid being taken advantage of or even bullied at somebody. Look, you have to fight. You have to fight.
Life on the street, goes without saying, could be so rough, and a lot of people look for sanctuary at home, but that wasn't really the case for you.
My dad was a great man, don't get me wrong, but when you was naughty, you got a good hiding. My dad was a big, strong man. I suppose I was a bit of a naughty one, to be fair, and it was a lot of dad's anger was, I brought 99% of it on myself, but it was sort of, things was quite tough when I was a kid, yeah. I mean, my father was a black taxi driver. Now, after parents lived with dad. Mum was, I don't even know where mum was living when she first left. But he worked nights as a black taxi driver. So I was started getting involved in smoking and, a little bit of cannabis and stuff like that. I didn't really have a lot of parental guidance at that stage. I suppose you're getting that from your coaches in your gyms, and you make friends in the boxing gym. And I just felt at home. I just felt settled. I felt comfortable in the boxing gym.
Johnny continued to box throughout his teenage years and had a successful amateur career. But in search of money, he moved towards the underground, unforgiving and unscrupulous world of unlicensed boxing.
It's not regulated. You don't go for all your medicals and your brain scans and your test for this, test for that. Going from junior amateur boxing to fighting fully grown men in spit and sawdust, best have it right, shit holes around the country, you was fighting proper men that could fight, do you know what I mean? And it was a different experience altogether. But even then, I was earning myself some half-decent money at the time for me. And I won 11, 12 fights on the bounce in the unlicensed game against some decent fighters, to be fair. I was doing something I really enjoyed doing, and I was getting paid for it. So I thought, happy days, a win-win as far as I was concerned. And he had some lads on there that could sell a really good ticket, but he didn't want them beaten. It sort of ruins the business model of ticket sellers. So what he said to me, look, I've got this kid here. To be fair, you can probably go and beat him, but don't do that. I'll pay you double money. Make sure you don't win.
Johnny, surely as someone, a professional athlete who has that instinct to win, is it not going against everything that you have intrinsically within you to be potentially throwing fights or not putting your all in?
Look, at the time, I didn't have a lot of money. My son was born with he had a severe club feet, my Ted, so he was in and out of Great Ormond Street and hospitals all the time. I didn't have a lot of work on. Cash is king at the end of the day, and I did have to learn pretty quickly to park my ego up And look, it was all about looking after number one, two, and three, which may be number three, but my wife and kid being number one and two. Look, I could take getting beat as long as my family had food down there next. Then, to be fair, I could park my pride up. It was a question of doing what you had to do to literally keep paying the rent. And that's it really is as simple as that.
Parking the ego is difficult for lots of people in any walk of life. But in boxing, it's an almost completely absent quality. Eventually, Johnny was approached by a promoter in professional boxing, Carl Greaves. No relation to Johnny, but he saw him fight and offered him a chance to fulfill a lifetime's ambition. I must warn you, this part of Johnny's story is difficult, and it does contain references to suicide and substance abuse with strong language.
Carl said to me, look, Johnny, you've really got something about you. You look like you can really fight. You ever thought about turning pro? And I went, I was interested. Obviously, my ears pricked up. Carl went, look, Johnny, I've just been offered a fight for 1,750 quid in your pocket. I said, mate, if I'm honest with you, you probably won't win. So what do you do? Like, at the end of the day, I was just coming out to my 30th birthday. I thought, I'm far too late to be a British world champion. So I'll go where the money is. But I said to Cole, look, Cole, I'm going to have 100 fights. And he went, Johnny, you've not even had one yet. But I said, no, guaranteed I'll have 100 fights. This is before my debut. But I was adamant that the only goal I ever wanted as a professional fighter was to have 100 professional bouts. Not 101, not 120, just 100 dead. That's all I wanted to do.
But your book, to me, has such an intriguing title. So Bright Lights and Dark Corners. I guess there's that exposure and almost vulnerability of being in the ring, yeah. Those bright lights, it shows everything. But then the dark corners, what was that for you? What were you struggling with?
I've suffered a hell of a lot with severe depression all my life, real suicidal thoughts. The fact of the matter is I was a paid loser, and that does affect your mental health at some. So, I mean, what you got to understand is I was going boxing around venues all around Great Britain every other week for 4 years. Look, when you're boxing the local ticket seller, you're nothing but a target for abuse, really. Do you know what I mean? I've had people spit on me and throwing things, threatening your family, laughing at your record. Even not people that you don't know, because you wouldn't allow yourself to be a laughing stock. But when all your friends and family are sort of taking the mickey about your record all the time, look, to be fair, you put a brave face on it and you laugh and you smile and you joke along and say, yeah, you know, I'm a loser, laughing and joking. But when you're on your own, it does affect your mental health. It really does.
Did it affect your self-esteem?
100%. I mean, look, again, my self-esteem wasn't great in the first place. So obviously, being a serial loser, it really does affect your mental health. It really does. I can't lie.
And you had moments, didn't you, Johnny, where you would be drinking before fights and you'd been struggling with substance abuse and things like that. Sounded like a horrible place.
Don't forget, you're fighting against some of the best fighters in the world. I mean, I boxed 9 world champion fighters. So when you're in the hotel room on your own. Next day, you're fighting against an absolute, in boxing terms, an absolute killer. You're stressed, you're worried. What do you do to forget? You end up sitting up all night stupidly. I regret and I'm embarrassed of everything I've done, but I was up snorting cocaine and drinking booze all night long, purely just trying to block out the feelings of what might happen tomorrow night. It might have been different if I was a full-time pro with a corner around me and people looking after me, but I didn't. I had myself to look after, and that was it. I didn't have no entourage. I had no one around me at all. I just had myself, my bag, my boots, my shorts, my gum shield, and that was it. It was the way you go.
Are you in a better place now?
I'm in a lot better place. I've grown up a hell of a lot, but then again, when I find myself in a depressive stage, to block things out, I try to coin a phrase, unfortunately, is to get off my tits. And that's the way it is, and that's the way I'll probably will always be.
How did you feel when you completed your 100 fights, Johnny?
I left school just before I was 15 years old. I never stuck at any jobs. I never stuck at anything. But it was the only thing I'd ever stuck at from start to finish. It was just a massive achievement. It was the only thing I'd ever achieved. And I was so proud. Even talking about it now brings a lump to my throat, to be honest with you. Sorry to sound like a bit of a softie, but my dad was extremely proud. My mum was proud. My family was proud. Never had no family and friends at any of my fights. Let's have it right. I was there to lose. I didn't want, why would I want that? But my 100th fight is the only fight I ever really set out to win, which I did. And it was, in all honesty, it's probably, aside from the kids being born, it was without a shadow of a doubt the best day, night of my life. I loved every second of it.
Do you think it's changed how your friends and family see you now?
Yeah, it's changed the way people look at me, to be fair. Look, at the end of the day, I'm a centurion boxer. People understand it's not the sort of thing that Joe Bloggs up the street can go and do. It's a massive achievement, a monumental achievement for me, to be honest.
What do you want the outcome of sharing your story to be? Is it any sort of warning to other people?
I've always tried to be open and honest, and I'd like people to think they can sort of achieve when they sort of pull their finger out and literally go out and achieve it. You know, if I can do it, people can do it. I'd love for a young lad that's going for a bit of a rough time to go, do you know what? I'm going to get my head down and strive to achieve something. Because if Johnny can do it, I can do it. It'd be nice. Everyone that has read it so far has absolutely loved it. So I'm pretty sure there'll be a few listeners would enjoy going to get it. So, yeah, help us out.
Johnny, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're more than welcome. I've enjoyed it.
Johnny Greaves and his poignant, melancholic and strangely inspiring story of overcoming challenges, doing what you need to do to survive, and finding achievement in things that appear on the face of it, perhaps insignificant. Johnny has every right to be proud of his 100 professional fights, but I think for me, getting his story out there, writing his book, that's the bigger achievement. And if you've been impacted by Johnny's story, then details of support in many countries can be found at Befrienders Worldwide. Head to befrienders.org. And that book is called Bright Lights and Dark Corners, The Johnny Greaves Story, and it's out now. But that's it from us here on Not By The Playbook. We've driven you to our finish line, and we hope you've enjoyed all those stories that show what determination looks like in and out of the sporting world. So until next week, from me, Katie Smith, producer Joel Hammer, editor Matt Davies, and all of the Not By The Playbook team, it's bye for now.